From the Len DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of April, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan O'Brien. He's at Kansas State University Extension, the USDA state statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. We'll update conditions in their regions. We'll also hear about the weather forecast from Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and along the way, we'll step into the Wayback Machine and hear from the Chief Agricultural Economist at USDA, Seth Myers, about the 2021 summer and its drought, and how at that time they judged it would relate to the beef supply in 2024, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, where it's our spring fun drive. Dial in now at 217-244-9455 or at willgive.org and pledge your support to the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. May corn settled $4.39.5, a quarter higher. July down 2.5 at $4.46.75. In December at $4.69.5, down 3.25. May beans lost 15.25 cents today. They settled at $11.45.5. July down 19 at $11.63. November new crop down 18.5 cents, finished at $11.59.5. Soft red winter wheat at $6.03.25, down 5.5 cents. The hard red down 21 in the July. Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University Extension now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking some time with us on Tuesday. Normally, we would once a month talk about the agricultural energies. I'm going to have you talk about that as well as the commodity markets today. And I understand from you that yesterday, you and your K-State colleagues put together a webinar that looks forward to the S&D or supply and demand tables that are due out in May from the Department of Agriculture. Can you tell me about what the tables you think might show as you project them from USDA and maybe some alternative outlooks that you could have there in Kansas?
Well, and you know, this May 10th WASDE report that's coming out will be the first one. The May report each year is the first time again, following the Ag Outlook meetings that are held in February, that the World Ag Board comes out and gives its projections for major crop supply demand tables and prices. So a lot riding on that. Generally, if the USDA follows its normal mode, which again they have pretty rigid procedures so that they don't introduce undue uncertainty into the market, they'll take the prospective planting numbers in this May report that for major crops, for corn, soybeans in particular, and as we're talking about them, and use those numbers and follow that with their their trend line projections for yields, and come up with estimates of production upon which they'll add beginning stocks, imports on the supply side, their estimates of usage and major categories for all that much more bioenergies we're talking about today also, as well as feed use, exports, and other domestic food seed industry usage. Bring all that together, come up with an ending stocks figure, and from there, take their best guesstimate of prices. And what's always key, what'll come about again on May 10th, no doubt, is that the USDA will assume normal weather and no major threats to the crops here during the coming growing season of 2024, so we'll see a strong yield, no doubt, along with estimated acreage, and we'll probably get a price that I think we should probably keep in mind as kind of a benchmark as a first shot of what we'd expect to see at harvest if we don't have a shortfall.
So what did you use for the USDA projected supply and demand ending stocks for corn for this marketing year? For the coming marketing year, and what were your alternative ending stocks figures like?
Well, I took the USDA Outlook Forum figure of 181 bushels an acre and had taken their initial projection of 2.5 million bushels of ending stocks and then adjusted that, and they'd assumed 91 million acres planted well. The prospective planting report came out with 90. So you take that 90 and do a normal adjustment from planted to harvested acres, and you get about a 14.9 billion bushel corn crop. That's with 181 bushels an acre. And again, 181, and this is it's not a point of contention, but just an observation. The highest we've ever had for yields was last year. So on balance, if you plug in the 177.3 that we had this year, instead of the 181, well, instead of 14.8, 14.9, it's 14.6, 14.7. But that's getting the old record. If we do have dry conditions, we get down to 174, 175, then we're looking at production somewhere between 14 and 14.5, ending stocks ending up below 2 billion bushels, somewhere in that probably 1.5 to 1.9 range, and prices moving high enough to ration usage. You know, we'd be a little bit short.
I'm wondering on the May USDA number for corn, particularly as it's related to what USDA ERS and the World Ag Outlook Board will project, if they are looking at planting rates, which are ahead of schedule and are likely certainly to continue to be ahead of schedule by the time we get next Monday's numbers out, they could increase average yield, certainly, and they have in the past. That's what their expectation would be, given the planting rate. Now, I don't know whether that's what they'll do or not, or if it actually is the set of numbers that they're working with, but that could have a desperately different look to it than what you're talking about.
Well, it could. I don't doubt that the market, which is pretty myopic, says, hey, we have moisture, why worry? Why get all worried about it? But I guess I'm not as concerned about, we should be concerned about, and we want people to get the crops planted, no problem. It's not the not the planting of the crops that concerns me. It's what happens later in the summer if we do turn dry, and we're coming into this in a lot of areas with limited subsoil. So that's I guess my perspective on trying to assess the risks in the market for corn and soybeans.
On that note, what are your soybean numbers like for the May projections?
For soybeans, the current projection is about $11.20. That's the last number that from that Ag Outlook Conference had been projected for prices. And that's at 52 bushels per acre. If you just take 2 bushels per acre off, instead of 360 million bushels of ending stocks, you're down below 200 stocks to use, about 4.5%. And, instead of $11.20, you're looking at something $2 or $3 higher. So, I still wonder about where the South American numbers are finally going to come out at. But the market's bidding off the USDA numbers until the USDA changes, or the cash market gets tight enough that basis starts to drive something. It seems that we're content to just say the USDA is right, CONAB is wrong, and that's what we're going to believe in. So, I guess that's what we got. So, oh well.
Hey, thank you, Dan.
Hey, take care.
That's Dan O'Brien. He is with Kansas State University Extension. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, where it's public radio for the farming world. If Dan's opinions, the opinions of all the analysts that we talk with, make a difference to you, if they help your farm operation, please help us today. It's our spring fund drive, and we're looking for your donation at willgive.org or at 217-244-9455. And about 40% of our budget comes from you, our listeners. When you dial in or when you go online, make sure that you put in support of agriculture in the commentary or tell that to the person that you're talking to. It's quick, it's simple, and easy. MasterCard, Visa, American Express, tell us you're going to make the pledge. However you do it, we thank you for making a donation in support of agriculture from Illinois Public Media. Now let's get into the Wayback Machine. We'll go just a couple of years back to the summer of 2021 with the United States Department of Agriculture hosted a webinar on the growing drought in the western United States and the impact it might have. Seth Myers outlined some interesting things at the time, particularly related to the beef cattle industry.
But I think when we talk about a mega drought, I want to get into some of these longer effects as well, too. And even in the short market dynamics, one of the things I'd show was a larger cow slaughter because the lands in the West simply won't perhaps hold as many cow-calf pairs on those pasture. And we have pasture conditions that are both mixed and really terrible.
Yeah, and that's Chief Economist at the United States Department of Agriculture, Seth Myers, in the summer of 2021, talking about mega drought conditions in the western United States and the impact on agriculture. At the time, forage conditions were very, very poor. And as he pointed out, it would have an impact into the future of agriculture. Well, this summer.
Even if we were to break out of this drought, there are lingering effects. And I'll go back to the fact that producers of cattle in the West have the choice of either really poor forage conditions and low handling numbers, you know, density for cow-calf pairs, or sending those animals off to feed on what is right now very expensive corn and for other animals, soybeans.
Now hold that in mind. On July 22nd of 2021, the chief economist at the United States Department of Agriculture, Seth Myers, said that the high price of corn and soybeans was impacting the price of beef cattle. However, that it might not be what drives the price of beef cattle higher in the future.
And when we look at inflation of food products, it really is on those meat animal sides where, again, demand has been really robust. So far, in big aggregates, I would say the drought is not a driver or not the principal driver. But that may very well change. When we think about beef prices and beef price impacts going forward, Western drought, cow slaughter, that's meat. Those cows being slaughtered, which may be a little bit of excess cow slaughter today, is a steak in 2024.
At the time, Seth Meyer concluded that was a missing beefsteak in 2024, leading to higher prices or food inflation, and that it could also potentially be less demand for U.S. feed crops.
And that's where we end up with this potential condition that, you know, if we have a problem with cows, those cows need to move to other locations or be slaughtered. And again, this affects our ability to produce beef because of biological lags years out.
That was U.S. Chief Economist Seth Myers speaking during a 2021 webinar for USDA employees that it eventually released to the public. In it, they pointed out that they believed there was a broader drought, a mega drought in the western United States, and that the conditions in 2021, particularly related to beef cattle production, would come to fruition in the summer of 2024. Hey, don't forget to make that donation in support of agriculture right now at 217-244-9455 or willag.org. And thank you. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 27% of the corn crop has been planted, 22% is the rolling five-year average, 7% of that crop is up and growing, 4% is the five-year average, 18% of the soybeans have been sown, the five-year average there is 10%. 30% of the winter wheat has now headed, 21% is the five-year average, and the condition to that crop is 43% good, 6% excellent, for a total of 49% in those two categories. The previous week, that total was 50%, so condition has gone down 1 percentage point this week. Now let's check in with the statisticians from across the Midwest to see what's happening in their regions.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Although the week began with dry weather, by Friday, severe storm systems brought cooler temperatures and rain, which allowed Iowa farmers 4.2 days suitable for field work during the week ending April 28, 2024. The storms also brought tornadoes and hail to areas of the state. Corn, soybean, and oat planting advanced early in the week, but came to a halt for most as storms arrived. Recent rains led to just 22% short to very short for the state's topsoil versus 37% as of April 21, 2024. Corn planted reached 39% complete, 4 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. 2% of the expected corn crop has emerged. 25% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 4 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of the average. Pastures and hay ground continue to green up, but warmer temperatures would aid in growth. Reports were received of cattle being turned out onto pasture. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois temperatures cooled and precipitation increased last week. The state average temperature was 55.2 degrees, and that was 0.8 degrees below normal for this time of year. Rainfall averaged 1.62 inches across the prairie state. That is nearly 8-tenths of an inch above normal. Southern areas were drier than normal, but the rest of the state was wetter than average, with the western part of Illinois getting the most rainfall. There were 3.1 days suitable for field work around the state last week, and topsoil moisture increased to 4% short, 58 adequate, and 38% surplus. Corn planting advanced by 14 points to reach 25% finished, compared to 34% 1 year ago and 25% for the 5-year average. 6% of corn acres have emerged compared to 3% normally. Soybean planting reached 26% finished. That compares to 32% last year and 18% normally. 5% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 1% normally. The Illinois wheat crop was 16% headed, compared to 13% 1 year ago and 11% for the 5-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop improved from 1 week ago and was rated 1% poor, 12% fair, and 87% good to excellent. That is better than 1 year ago. Pasture conditions also improved from last week and were rated 3% poor, 19% fair, and 78% good to excellent. That is a little worse than 1 year ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Melissa Bond. Minnesota had 4.1 days suitable for field work, according to the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Field work included tillage and planting before the weekend rain showers arrived. Livestock were doing well and no losses were reported. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 5% very short, 16% short, 64% adequate, and 15% surplus. Corn planted was at 30%, 1 week ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybeans planted reached 14%, 9 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of the 5-year average. Spring wheat planted was 48% with 5% emerged. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Nathaniel Warnsky. Indiana farmers made planting progress where field conditions allowed, but some fields remained too wet to be worked. There were 3.8 days suitable for field work for the week ending April 28th. A return to average precipitation levels during the past week allowed for limited progress on corn and soybean plantings. Planting progress for both crops remained behind the 5-year average at 8% planted. Despite frost events, winter wheat conditions were rated 78% good to excellent, a slight improvement from last week. Winter wheat progress continued ahead of the 5-year average at 7% headed. Cold, wet weather conditions presented difficulties for calving. Other activities for the week included tillage, fertilizer, and pesticide applications, and harvesting asparagus and strawberry crops. This is Nathaniel Warnsky, Indiana State Statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Hey, have you dialed yet? 217-244-9455? I hope so. If not, we'll give .org online. In either case, I like the 120 level. 240 is magnificent. 360, 480, 640, which is the oddball number, but you know what that means, in support of agriculture, and thank you so very much. Dande from Day Weather now joins us to take a look at what's been happening across the United States. Don, let's start in the Southwest, or at least in the Kansas-Oklahoma area with the hard red winter wheat growing regions today.
Those areas have been able to pick up some rain, especially the eastern areas, and we're in a pattern that really isn't that much different than what we've had over the last couple of weeks. There'll be an active pattern of showers and thunderstorms, some of them severe, for the central and eastern parts of Kansas and central and eastern areas of Oklahoma. We're still looking at some dryness in southwest, west central Kansas, eastern Colorado, and the northern panhandle of Texas and the Oklahoma panhandle. So there's a sort of a dividing line between what has been drier and what is much more wet. Wet areas will continue to be in the central and eastern counties of those states.
Crops in the northern plains are doing how?
They've had plenty of spring moisture, and there's more coming. The northern plains looking at above average precipitation here over the next 7 to 10 days, and that follows what's been a pretty persistent pattern of systems moving across the northern tier of the U.S. So not lacking any moisture across the Dakotas and those northern plains, at least over the last few weeks.
And then Minnesota, Nebraska, western Iowa?
Well, more rain's coming. Unfortunately, more severe weather, too. I'm afraid to say that the pattern responsible for the tornado outbreak that has happened over this past week is not that much different this week, and maybe even the parts of next week. So the episodes of thunderstorms and showers will bring plenty of rain to those areas, including a lot of the central northwest areas of the Corn Belt. But with that is going to be some severe weather again, I'm afraid to say. Now, as you get further east, we're definitely not as wet in the eastern Corn Belt. Rain will be getting into Indiana, but Ohio's looking dry. Parts of Kentucky, areas further east, aren't getting into that heavier moisture.
Anything else we should talk about the growing regions in the southeast or Missouri, the Delta region?
Well, Missouri's going to be wet, so will be most of the deltas. You get into Missouri, Arkansas, those areas looking at plenty of opportunities for rain here over the next week or so. Also, parts of the southeast United States. The Gulf Coast areas are drier from Texas to Florida, but as you get into the Carolinas, parts of the Northern Delta, rain chances are looking good.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Dehes with Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report during our spring fun drive. 217-244-9455 or Will Give. .org. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Be sure to make that gift. Don't wait. Do it today. And thank you so very much. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.